Right now, time to set us straight about the intake of food is Judy Wertman. Dr. Judy Wertman, of course, the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet. And you can find out more about that at serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, the author of Simon Loses His Tummy. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hub, here's Dr. Wertman.
Good morning to both of you. And it just occurred to me, you know, that we didn't live in New England with weather changing every 45 minutes. What would we really talk about?
The only thing else we could talk about would be the Red Sox and the Yankees.
No. My favorite was Henry Higgins' mother in My Fair Lady. Stick to two topics, dear, the weather and his health.
Exactly. So it would be back for the health. Which brings us to, you know, the topic of the day, which is why we don't talk about people who are suffering from mental health issues. My inspiration, as it were, for my blog this week was a comment that a friend of mine made about mental illness being what she called a non-casserole disease. And I thought for a moment, and I said to her, you mean that if somebody is sick, breaks a leg, you know, has an accident, is recovering from a long bout of the flu, you know, you call up and say, what can I bring over? Can I bring something to your home? Can I, you know, make some chicken soup? Can I bring over, you know, some lasagna, something for you to eat? Can I bring over a casserole to help you out during the recovery from your illness? If somebody has mental illness, if you hear somebody say, well, my grandson has generalized anxiety disorder, or my husband is suffering from bipolar disease, or my mother has just been diagnosed with panic attacks or something like that. How many of us would say, "Oh, I'm really sorry. Can I bring something over to help you? Can I bring over some chicken soup, etc.?" I suspect never. And this is so that really explains the title, because we tend to, rather than rush in to help people who are dealing with a disease, in this case a mental disease, we tend to not shun them, you know, overtly, but sort of turn our backs and say, well, I'll pretend I just didn't hear about that. You know, that's your problem. I just don't want to get involved. You know, who knows? Maybe you have maybe your relative really is sort of crazy. You know, maybe I shouldn't let my kids play over your yard. If you have a social occasion and we're neighbors, friends may be coming, let's say, an outdoor barbecue, you know, like this Memorial Day weekend, and you have a neighbor whose kid is sort of acting a little weirdly, and maybe, you know, you've heard that, gee, he's sort of depressed, and we heard maybe he was suicidal. Should we bring the family over to the barbecue? Who knows? Maybe he's going to act out. In this day and age, despite the fact that there are more people in the United States with mental illness, considerably more, like one in five, it's been said, will have mental illness at some point during his or her life, despite the fact that there are at least twice as many people in this country with mental illness as have diabetes, we still pretend that the disease doesn't exist, or if it exists, we pretend that we just don't know anybody with the disease, or we don't want to deal with anybody who really has it. And it just, the effect of this is to isolate people terribly. You know, I mean, Jill, you know, if I had a dentist appointment or appointment with a dermatologist because a bump on my arm looked like it was melanoma and I was rushing to make sure it wasn't just a freckle, I mean, it wasn't melanoma, but just a freckle, you know, I would say to somebody who, you know, like I was working for, I have to go to see my dermatologist. But if I had, anxiety and somebody suggested I should go see a psychiatrist, would I say to my employer, you know, I have to take the afternoon, a couple of hours off this afternoon. I've got to go see my therapist.
Well, you know, this is very interesting because generationally, at this point, you certainly would. But when I was, let's call it decades ago, there was a young lady who I worked with. Now, mind you, this was the music business, but there were certain days that she just couldn't come in because she would say, like, I'm too depressed, I'm too messed up. And we have to acknowledge that I am weird, and I also know weird people, but that that is something that I am very used to people saying.
Well, that's good then. Go on.
Yeah, I think where a larger problem lies, and as I say, things have changed sufficiently where you certainly among coworkers who know you, and with younger kids now who basically are awash in various disorders, they will say where they're going and what it, you know, what it's about. Where I think the problem lies is the compassionate response of others, because that's what's missing. That's what makes it a non-casserole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so where I think people could pick it up a little is, okay, how do I, you know, what is the casserole equivalent, or how can I, take a little of the edge off. Is there any way?
Yeah, and what is so, contradictory about this is that we all sort of know what the response is if we hear, somebody has diabetes. Oh, I better make sure if I invite that person over for dinner that I restrict the carbohydrates and I, don't serve a tempting dessert because he might be tempted or she might be tempted to eat it and be bad for the disease. But how often, A, do we even invite somebody over who we know is struggling with mental illness or has a member of the family who will be coming along with mental illness, and do we even know how to respond to it? Yet the crazy thing is, sorry, that word, the strange thing is that it's so prevalent that we all know people who have it, of course, but we just don't feel comfortable. We still don't feel comfortable around it in sort of social situations. And indeed, I suspect that, if somebody was still running for public office and it was found that he or she had depression or some other kind of generalized anxiety in that person's background, you say, well, maybe that person's really not fit for a political office. No comments about who is already in office. But the other thing is that really don't even have we don't have movies or television programs that really show what people with mental illness really are living normal lives. The only people on television with mental illness who seem to be living normal lives are people who are taking a particular antidepressant. And you see them sad, and now you see them walking along a beach, and suddenly they're fine.
In the ads.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Okay, right.
And you never see them in a program dealing with family situations, work situations, social situations, dating, whatever. You never see what it's like for somebody to live a life with mental illness. We have it with autism now. We have it with, various kinds of impairments, handicaps we never see with mental illness. And maybe that's the way to change.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertman.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Judy Wertman every Thursday morning right before the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio.